The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Straight up 6 o'clock after the greatest football game that really meant nothing in football history. But boy, was it fun. Because people will knock the NFL that both these teams will be in the playoffs. They're in different conferences. There's no home field advantage, blah, blah, blah. Don't bring that today because it was a great sporting event. And the thing I loved about it, because I'm not a big fan of the high-scoring Big 12 games, the thing I loved about it is I thought the defenses actually played really well. It's hard to say that in the first NFL game over 50 points for both teams. But they made big-time plays.
Well, that was the difference. I mean, when you look at the five turnovers for the Chiefs, and anytime you're minus three and you're playing an offense like the Rams, especially on the road, it's going to be difficult to win a game like this. Look, even if you're a defensive guy, you enjoyed that to a degree because you saw outstanding defensive plays and you saw some of the best skill in the world. And this is just the new NFL, and I blame a lot of this on fantasy football. I really do. Fantasy football is such a big business. It's as big as sports gambling right now.
It is, but, I mean, don't you think this is what people want to see?
Oh, I do, but at the same time, I mean, if you've got Tyreek Hill or you've got Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff, you're putting up major fantasy numbers,
well,
right?
Sure you are, but I'm just saying, I think even the average, like, I didn't have a dollar invested on the game. I don't play fantasy football. That was an enjoyable football game for me. I'd much rather watch that than the Ravens and Titans slog out a 9-6 game.
Yeah.
No, I mean, give me that one.
Why wouldn't you?
No doubt. But understand what I'm saying. When, you know, we've all seen the Big 12 game or the old WAC games, that kind of stuff where it's up and down the field and it really is bad defense. I thought it took elite offensive performances last night to get those points against a pass rush that was unrelenting from the Rams. So Mahomes had to handle that. And then the secondary and the hits that were coming from the Chiefs, I just thought it was wasn't a well-played defensive game, but it wasn't as bad of a defensive game as you think it would be with that score. Those offenses, the speed of that game was so amazing to me. Both sides of the ball, it was such a fast-paced game.
Well, and you had two of the best play callers on the planet when you've got Andy Reid, a guy that's, it's amazing when they show the graphic 60 years old, and then you've got 32-year-old Sean McVay, who just seems to, I mean, just, I mean, the Gerald Everett, the one-on-one coverage with Nick Sorensen, that final touchdown, and my problem there is I couldn't even celebrate it because I thought it was too quick.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, they've got a 130+ on the clock, and there's no chance with three timeouts they're not going to score again.
Yeah, I thought they'd messed up again at the end when McVay was throwing the ball, and they gave it back to him with a 108 left.
How weird was that?
I was like, oh my goodness, what has he just done?
And I see people saying, well, guys, he doesn't, and I saw our boy Orlovsky say this, he doesn't want to give Kansas City the ball back. He's trying to get a first down. He's staying aggressive, but he didn't stay aggressive. That's the thing. He was throwing, but he was trying to throw safe.
Well, he was throwing safe to a tight end, too.
Yeah, I mean, just if you're going to throw. I mean, trust Jared Goff or don't trust Jared Goff, just because you throw doesn't make it aggressive.
Yeah.
Well, you saw, and this is one guy that nobody talks about because of the outstanding performance by Abukam and what we saw with Aaron Donald, but Johnny Hecker, his two final punts, and for Tyreek Hill to field those inside of the 10, but that final 63-yard punt, I mean, that was huge. Yeah. So, to me, what McVay's got to do in that situation, you run Gurley three times, you take all the timeouts, and then you trust the best punter in the NFL and Johnny Hecker to do what he does.
But I think going forward, I'm more concerned defensively about the Rams coming out of this game than I am Kansas City. And only for this reason, I don't know who Kansas City is going to face in the AFC that's got this dynamic of an offense, but I know who the Rams are going to face. And your pass defense, Lance, boy, they just got lit up.
But what you
got
to realize is by far one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL hasn't been with them for the last 6 weeks. And he's coming back off the bye, Aqib Talib. And that's going to be a huge difference.
It needs to be.
Because what you've got right now is you've got Marcus Peters, a guy that, you know, he's got a ton of upside and makes big plays. And we saw a late one there. but he's a guy that also gets burned. But he's been on the best receiver for the last 5 weeks. Once Tlaib comes back, that shifts over. He'll be on the number two guy, and Tlaib takes over the priority guy.
Yeah, and that better work, because Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes have carved up that pass defense without Aqib Tlaib.
I do wish that had been the Super Bowl last night, that we were guaranteed to have that kind of excitement in the Super Bowl.
No, I agree.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That would have been fantastic. You know, unfortunately, if we get the Rams and Chiefs again,
there's no way it lives up to
that. It can't be the same thing. Here's Sean McVay afterwards, the 32-year-old who my wife said, well, why do they keep showing that grad assistant on the sideline? I said, nope, he's the head coach. He does look young.
What does your wife know about a grad assistant? She really said that?
GA, man. GA. Oh, we're doing a vocabulary word every day. Sports vocabulary. We're teaching. Teaching moment, Brown. Here is Sean McVay afterwards on what was a special night in the Los Angeles Coliseum.
Yeah, you know, it was a whirlwind. I feel like, you know, I might need a couple beverages to relax tonight. But it was great. You know, I mean, this is what you love so much about this game. And really what's the best part about it is that locker room. Sharing that with the people that you love. You know, the players, the coaches, this organization. But it was a great matchup. But it was just one game. And there's a lot of football left. We got to do a great job making sure that we respond. You know, we get ourselves healthy as possible. And we're refreshed and ready to go when we play the Lions coming back from the bye.
And the Rams do have the bye week now, which gives them a chance to come down, recoup, and make a run. And get ready for the playoffs.
You
so
know,
it worked out well.
This game was so huge for the Rams because you are going into a bye, and you look at the next two games for them. They've got to go to Detroit and then to Chicago. And I really believe they're going to lose one of those two games, and they're not going to lose their final three games. Philadelphia is awful right now, and that game's at the Coliseum. They've got Arizona. They've got San Francisco. So I think they go 14-2. And when you look at what the Saints are doing, with the Saints' remaining schedule, the Saints are at least going to drop one.
But they got to drop. They got to get to three losses, though, right?
Yeah, well,
because
the Rams,
of the head-to-head?
If the Rams do drop another one, yeah.
Right.
So that game last night was huge because I think the Rams could go 14-2 and still not get home field advantage, which is insane.
I know, that is crazy, but that shows you what the Saints are doing.
You're coming off a year, though, where the Red Sox and the Yankees both won over 100 games, and the Yankees had to play a one-game wild card.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would sort of be the same situation.
But I think home field advantage is far more meaningful to the Saints than it is the Rams. I think the Saints are a different team.
Well, I think it's just as important for the Rams because, although it's not a great home field advantage, the Coliseum was rocking last night.
Well, it was, but you're not going to replicate that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, for the Rams to have to go on the road.
Yeah, no. No, but I mean, and that's what I mean by a team that performs better at home. Now, if you're the Rams, yeah, you're going to have to go on the road and play in New Orleans. But that was one of the positives about that game last night. I've never seen the Coliseum like that.
That's,
I mean,
right.
that is a dead crowd 99.9% of the time, and they were rocking.
And it was packed to the gills, and it was a Super Bowl like atmosphere. Well, it's better than a Super Bowl atmosphere. It was a playoff like atmosphere in Los Angeles. Here is, after the game, cut 18, Jared Goff talking about that, Brown, the atmosphere. And why the Rams were so emotional about that game, not just for themselves and what it meant for them, but what it meant for Los Angeles.
No, you could really see the community come together tonight, and just with the energy from the crowd and everything kind of leading up to the game and getting moved back to L.A., you know, kind of everything leading up to it and everything that happened the last couple weeks has been so tough for so many people, and including a lot of people inside our organization, and being able to give joy and some sort of normalcy for a few hours has been awesome.
How did they fill the stands? I mean, did you?
Well, they had a lot of giveaway tickets.
So they had a lot of giveaway tickets.
Well, they gave away, I think, 3,000 to first responders. There were a couple of schools they gave tickets away to.
But did season ticket holders, did they get their normal seats? Do you
know?
They
did, yeah.
Okay.
Because it was their home game.
Right. But they had not distributed the tickets. I just didn't know if they turned around within a week's time and had distributed the tickets. We were comforted to know by Joe Tess that we are going to continue to play games in Mexico. Nobody worry. Mexico City is going to get another game.
Well, they want to put a franchise there.
But he said that like we're all sitting there hoping that Mexico City gets another game.
I can't overstate how bad I think Monday Night Football is now.
I mean, if you wondered if a great game was going to make that crew great, no.
Why didn't Tess get excited about it?
Oh,
like every play.
So over the top.
Well,
oh,
and Booger is maybe the most redundant analyst I've ever heard.
Booger wants to make certain that on every play, you're aware of the most obvious thing on that play.
Yes.
That's what he wants to do. That's his goal, I think, is, okay, let me find the most obvious thing and make sure the viewer saw that.
But if they didn't think it could get worse with the crew, then they put in these CGI graphics that are borderline creepy. I don't know if you saw McVay with a wand and doing like the Harry Potter, and it doesn't even look like him. And then they had like Les Snead, the general manager. It was just, And then they had the graphic of Pat Mahomes walking in with an old Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. It was just a weird look, and everything they do just seems to go the wrong direction.
They've got live video from a bar in Mexico City, and it's a Buffalo Wild Wings. It was like the Alamos Bar in Mexico City.
Yeah, was that the bone they threw Mexico City to show us the live look in?
But it was a Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, you could see the cups and the logos. They were at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm not saying it wasn't at Mexico City.
Hey, and I don't know if you noticed this. In that picture, there was one girl.
Poor thing.
Did not notice, no. It's odds right there.
I didn't pay attention to that live shot so much. That was the time I
felt bad for.
All right, so that's Monday Night Football last night. Greatest poll question in the world coming up, tune in. What will get lost in last night's craziness is that the Chiefs are averaging more points per game in losses than they are in wins this season.
Yeah, I saw that.
Their two losses, they're averaging 45 points a game. They average 34 points a game in their win.
And they've lost those two games by a total of 6 points.
Yeah.
You know, the best stat I saw out of last night, though, was the 14 combined touchdowns in the game, and the Bills have 13 for the entire season.
That's pretty bad.
You know you're a Bills fan when.
I can't imagine, Lance, after that adrenaline of that type of game.
I didn't go to bed till 12:30.
Yeah. I couldn't go to sleep either.
I mean, I turned it off as soon as Mahomes threw that last pick, and I knew that Cecil Hurts had such a great tweet. L.A. can only throw it probably two more times here after they got the ball back on that last pick.
I have learned, I feel like a coach, that I've become too much of a Rams fan. I think there's probably SEC fans out there like me that actually, well, I guess not Alabama fans because they don't sweat games anymore. But it's almost impossible to enjoy the game until the game's over.
Yeah, you're right.
Last night, before we get to the phones, Auburn beat Xavier yesterday afternoon, 88-79. Auburn's now 4-0. And listen, the dunk by Jared Harper gets a lot of love.
It was a facial.
It was pretty awesome.
No, but I'm going to tell you why it's more impressive than just a normal awesome dunk between three guys, is because it's 78-77 in overtime. At the point, it's a big 2 points in the basketball game. It was that big of a moment in the contest, and the little 5'11 guy jumped out of the gym.
Well, I thought Xavier did everything they could, scratching and clawing, to keep that game within 5 points the entire game, and then to be able to take that to overtime, you thought Auburn was going to give one away. The Horace Spencer non-call goaltend was huge.
Yeah,
and I still don't know how they didn't call that.
But, you know, you don't. If you hit your free throws, you don't go to overtime. I mean, Wiley, before he fouled out, missed the free throws. And, look, I know it's a big man. Those guys are sketchy free throw shooters by and large. But, I mean, all you really needed to do was hit the free throws. Auburn was pretty bad from the stripe, and that game never even sees overtime.
Horace Spencer, though, was an unsung hero, because when your other guys, like Wiley, fouling out, Spencer had to be a stud as a senior veteran coming in there and holding down the center for Auburn's offense, holding down the boards. And I thought he was a big part of that game last night.
Well, and Bill has pointed it out. I mean, he was the unsung hero. I mean, you can look at the dunk by Harper and Harper's 25 points, and, you know, Bryce Brown and Harper both playing 43 minutes and what they can do in that backcourt. But when you look at Spencer and how active he was with the 5 rebounds and the couple of blocks, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, those were huge minutes for Horace Spencer.
But I bring that up because of the absolute depth of this team is going to be what sustains them throughout the course of the season. I mean, there you are down two guys fouling out, and Spencer's in there making those kind of plays. That's depth, man. That's
absolutely.
That's the kind of stuff you got to have to go deep in the tournament, because you get, or the tournament, we're not to that point yet, the tournament. I can't even say it right. So I thought it was really magical that Auburn gets this game tonight. Now, I've already got people on Twitter. Parker writes in 16 minutes ago, Auburn will not beat Duke, so they should go ahead and start searching for a moral victory now.
Well, that's a big ask. You know, I mean,
oh, it is.
It is a top 10 team. I mean,
it's your shot, though. I'd rather have my shot here this early.
No doubt. I mean, I'm excited about this matchup. Duke 16-0 all time in Maui. And when you look at the three big freshmen, you know, RJ Barrett, obviously Zion Williamson, and Cam Reddish, I mean, it's a big ask for Auburn to be able to get this, because I think there's such a discrepancy right now in the number one team in everyone else, at least the way Duke has played through four games. But this is a huge barometer for Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers.
It does two things, Brown. One thing it does is it gives your guys a chance to see the elite speed that you are going to get if you ever get to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. This is this is a nugget you can put in the back of your brain anytime you're in a big game the rest of the year. You've played the best of the best, and you know what that feels like. You cannot put a value on that for this team. But also tonight, if you're closer, if you pull the upset, and you tell me, who's this game more important to tonight?
Auburn.
Who's going to play like this is the biggest game they've ever been in tonight?
Auburn. I mean, Duke loses this game, it's easy. The overall number one seed if they lose this game. I mean, they're you know, that doesn't cost them that. If Auburn has a path to a one seed, they got to have a win in a game like this, I think.
Duke plays Kansas and North Carolina. This, and, you know, they play all these games, Kentucky. They play all these games all the time.
I mean, with all due respect to Auburn, if you just slate out Duke's schedule, this might be their 10th or 12th most important game.
Yeah.
This is the most important game Auburn basketball has had since Sonny Smith, maybe.
But I do think
Cliff Ellis, I guess.
This Duke, and you know, another thing that Bill has brought up is we haven't talked about a team possibly going undefeated since 2014-15 Kentucky. Everyone believing this team can go undefeated, I think that might actually hamper Duke a little bit down the stretch.
It's a lot of pressure, and I know you're saying, well, these young guys for Duke, this is, you know, only their fourth or fifth college game, so how can you say it's not big for them? For those kids that are playing at Duke, they were recruited by Duke and North Carolina. They knew they were going to be playing at a program like this. For these Auburn guys, they are looking at Duke, and a lot of teams do this. They'll look at Duke or, you know, a team like that, and they'll say, you know, at one point when I was a kid, I dreamed of playing at a program like that, and I'm going to show them that I could have played at a program like that.
That's right.
And you get 9-10 guys doing that tonight for Auburn, and you take your shot.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you look at the rest of Duke's out-of-conference, it's not tremendous. So this is a pretty big out-of-conference game for them. I mean, they've got Indiana next on their schedule after Maui. They've already played Kentucky, as you well know, and just destroyed them.
Are you trying to build a case for Duke to make the tournament?
Well, no, not at all.
Resume building for them tonight?
Not at all. I'm just saying, when you look at their out-of-conference, this is one of their better out-of-conference games. I mean, this is a top-10 team, and they don't have a lot of those in their out-of-conference this year.
Well, the good news for Bruce Pearl is you've got Brown, you've got Harper, you've got veteran guards, where the moment's not going to be too big, as good as Duke is, as overwhelmed as a lot of teams would be. And watching a little bit of San Diego State, that was a team that was overwhelmed.
A lot of shut-up juice going to be handed out late tonight and tomorrow if Auburn pulls the upset here. Cody writes in.
Not going to happen, by the way.
Last year, Auburn beat two number one teams in football. This week alone, they'll lose to two number one teams in Alabama and Duke.
There is that possibility.
So much shut-up juice.
Well, they've got a better chance of beating Duke tonight than they do of Alabama on Saturday. I mean, you guys would agree with that, right?
Yeah, well, the point spread, even though it's not out yet, the point spread will tell you that.
I would think that Duke is going to be an 11-point favorite. I was looking just about 10 minutes ago. There's still not a number that's listed, but I'm going to say Duke will come out as an 11-point favorite.
That's big in college basketball neutral site.
I think it is 11 or 10. I saw it last night.
Oh, really? There's nothing out right now.
There's nothing out.
I thought it was 11, but I may be wrong. Trucks is in Chelsea. What's up, Trucks?
Morning, guys. Y'all doing okay?
Great. How are you?
Doing just fine. Now, as a lifelong Auburn fan, it's a bit of what's the margin? Is it going to be bigger tonight, or is it going to be bigger on Saturday?
Oh, Saturday. That's another great poll question, Brown. The poll questions are oozing out of the show
already. Yes, they are. Well, let me ask you this, because I was thinking of this for a poll question. We were poll heavy today. As an Auburn fan, Trucks, if you could pick one, which one would you pick?
Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's even close.
No, I think there are some that would say Duke tonight,
though. I don't think anybody would say Duke.
You say 0%?
I think 0%.
0%. I live with an Alabama fan who loves y'all, and I love her 364 days of the year. But if I have to live with this again for another year, okay, I'm going to be calling y'all earlier than Scoob just for therapy.
That's early.
That's early. Got to get up early.
We'll take that, though, Trucks.
Yeah, here's what I would say.
I'm up early.
Here's what I would say for Auburn fans, and I don't know if you agree with this. You guys are going to be stuck with Gus Malzahn regardless. So you would have an opportunity not to necessarily ruin Alabama's season. They obviously can still get into the 14 playoff and win a national championship, but at least the debate on the greatest college team of all time would go away.
Sure. And it's a bit of you know, it's something else that we live with, and it's similar to last year. You know, the Jalen Hurts bet with him wearing the Auburn jersey and then carrying the trophy around campus, I mean, that's classic. I mean, that's something that's just absolutely hilarious. It sends the message, both sides got to win, both sides got to have bragging rights about one thing or another. But it's a bit of, if you think about this, you know, all of us growing up here, this is the one thing that determines – the rest of the year. It's going to affect the kids at school on Monday. It's going to affect church on Sunday. But we would definitely, even have been so-called stuck with Malzahn, it would give us, you know, one little needle in the ribs that we would be very happy to have.
Yep. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Trucks.
That's what makes it fun.
I like it. It affects church on Sunday.
Yeah. Seriously,
there's no doubt it does.
My congregation in Asbury is not this, but I would imagine that at some places it's the difference between having your regular pastor or the backup pastor.
You know, it's been such a disappointing year, I think, for Auburn football fans. I mean, this would make the year. I mean, you're talking about a team that's got four losses right now, but if you could knock off Alabama, the so-called invincible team.
Well, like you said it well, in your most honest of moments if you're an Auburn fan, the fact that there already seem to be guarantees that Malzahn's coming back either way, this isn't the job saver for him.
Yeah, like as a USC guy, I think I want USC to beat Notre Dame, but at the same time, if they lose to Notre Dame, I think Helton's out.
Yeah.
Mailman's in Vestavia. Good morning, Mailman.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I always enjoy you guys' show. Just a couple of quick things. The reason why I believe Alabama's going to win Saturday, I want to give a big shout-out to their linebackers, which I think have a point to prove, you know, considering all the injuries that they had last year. And looking at Auburn's third down percentage or ratio that they had last week in that blowout win against Liberty, I think it was like 3 of 12.
Yeah, still very bad.
I really think Alabama wins this going away 45-17. And can you imagine Kirby Smart and Nick Saban's facial expression if they have a score like last night, Monday night game? And I'll hang up and listen, guys. Yeah.
They'd hate it. Auburn is 114th in the country in third down conversions. They convert only 34% of them.
Well, I throw out last week because, you know, those games don't matter. The week before that, Brown, and a like opponent, they were 3 of 13 against Georgia, which is the kind of defense you're going to face against Alabama. Last week, you know, it's 53-0, and you're playing Liberty, no chance of losing the game. So I throw any stats. We rarely talk scores about Saturday's games unimportant.
They were 2 of 12. They were 16% against Liberty. But to your point, A&M and Georgia, they were 3 of 11 in both those games.
Yeah. I thought it was 3 of 13 against Georgia, but it's a –
could have been.
It's a problem against like defenses they've had as well. So it is a legitimate problem. If they had not had a problem until just last week, last week would have meant nothing.
No, that's right. Last week was just what they normally do.
But go back to their – like opponents, other SEC opponents like Alabama, and you get the same type of numbers, and that is a huge concern in the game. 6:28, more on the Iron Bowl and the rivalry games as we come on. We've got an unbelievable, some of the great poll questions you've given us already, and then one that it was part of Lance's life last night. It's a great story, and we're going to put it into a poll question because Lance gave us, he did something last night I don't know if is socially acceptable.
Well, we'll find out.
I think it is, but
we'll find out. Yes.
I agree with you, but I don't know if I could have done it. So we'll talk.
No, you couldn't have.
We'll talk about it next. Patrick Mahomes still a pretty young quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I've gone into my Joe Test delivery.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's 23.
That was way low for Joe Test.
Yeah. That's his second 6-touchdown game. He had 6 in week 2 against Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger. And here's a crisp $100 bill from game day if you can name the other guy. The only guys in NFL history have 2 multiple 6-touchdown games.
Warren Moon?
Oh, great guess, no.
Kurt Warner.
Another good guess, no. Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, jeez.
Back in the day, they threw the football around, too. How about that? That's my neighborhood one there.
Oh, so good.
They brought
man.
One to my neighborhood.
So good.
That's awesome. All right, poll questions. Every day on the show, which are the ones our listeners have given us so far? We had
One our listener gave us last night. Jacob submitted, will there be an NCAA tournament basketball game that is lower scoring than this Monday night football game?
So our final score last night was what, 54-51?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get that.
How do I? You don't think we'll get one that's played 2 teams in the high 40s?
In the
like
tournament?
Like a yucky 8-9 game?
Mm. I don't know. That's low.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. So we may get a conference game.
The other one is trucks and his phone call said bigger margin, Iron Bowl or Duke Auburn basketball? Do you think that's a good one? Because I would say Iron Bowl, but
that's a great question. I actually think Auburn basketball plays Duke basketball closer than Auburn football plays Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Football.
I mean, boy, you just look at the numbers in Vegas right now. Again, I haven't seen an established number on this.
There's
Duke
not Auburn. One I checked.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be around 10 or 11. I'll say officially 11 right now is the way I would list this. And you look at what you've got Saturday, Alabama's a healthy 24.5-point favorite.
And then there's this poll question, and all of our poll questions brought to you by the great folks at Dreamland Barbecue. Just drive by the 280 location on your way to work, home, or wherever you're going. You smell the barbecue being prepared for you there. It's a great smell, especially when there's chill in the air. Great place for lunch and dinner, and you can ship. You can ship that barbecue anywhere in the world.
Yeah, ribs, white bread, sauce, banana pudding. Just go online, check out the incredible packages, tailgate packages for this holiday season. Go to dreamlandbbq.com. Dreamland Barbecue ain't nothing like them nowhere.
So the question will come off of this story last night. We all know LT is a bigger Rams fan than he is any other sport. He loves the Rams more than any college team, any other pro team. It's the Rams, 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 Rams. So much so, and I think you're okay with me saying this, he used to bribe his kids to watch the games with him when they were little bitty, by every time the Rams scored a touchdown, they got a piece of candy,
well,
right?
Well, we had packages. I had different game day packages for defensive touchdowns, regular touchdowns.
Okay.
So I would try to bait them in, and it was one of the ways for me to get them to watch the Rams. And unfortunately, this was when the Rams were really, really bad.
The candy wasn't worth it.
And they would sit there sometimes an entire game, and the Rams would get shut out. No. It was really a sad situation.
And you would not give in?
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't give in until the end of the game, and then I would give them something. But they got so worked up about how bad the Rams were, I think it stuck with them. It actually has backfired. So they are not Rams fans at all, and they will not watch with me.
That's what you get.
That's exactly. Yeah. There's nobody in my house that likes the Bucs that much. My wife got asked the other day, by one of her friends, well, who's your favorite NFL team? And she was like, I guess the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, why'd you want that? Yeah.
So LT's a huge Rams fan. So the Rams are playing one of their bigger regular season games ever last night on Monday Night Football, and you're at home watching.
Well, I'm at home watching, and just full disclosure here, I don't watch the Rams in public. I don't like that. You know, I went to the Saints game, Saints-Rams, a couple of weeks ago. I used to, when they resided in the NFC West, I would go every year when they played in Atlanta. I'd go every year when they played in New Orleans. I don't mind going to a Rams game. I don't like watching a Rams game in public, and I don't like having friends over. On Saturday, love having friends over to come watch college football, but for a Rams game, I like to watch it by myself.
Because so you get into it.
I get into it, and I really, really want to watch it, and I want to focus. And again, probably to a fault that I can't enjoy it as much. But last night, there was probably 3.5-4 minutes to go in the first half, and my doorbell rings, and full disclosure, I've got one of those Ring apps now, so I can see motion at my front door, and then I've got a camera, so I can see anybody at my front door, because when I'm downstairs, it's easy just to pop up and see who's there. So I pull up the app, and I'm looking on screen, and I see a family of four standing at my door, and so what, last night with 4 minutes to go in the first half, it was probably 8:30 at night.
So you got a family of four. How are they dressed?
Well, I couldn't really tell. It was a little shaky, a little grainy, and I assumed maybe it was some carolers, or maybe it was somebody selling something.
Carolers before Thanksgiving was bold.
We wish you
happy Thanksgiving.
Carolers are behind us. They're about to get us.
Well, so I waited, and I thought they would just go away. And they didn't go away until they rang the doorbell again. And it didn't help that my dog was going nuts. And so finally I've got an audio feature where I can actually talk. And so I went on there and I said, yeah, what's up? And he said, hey, it's Ryan, your neighbor. And so then I realized who it was.
So it's your neighbor.
It's Ryan and Kara
family.
And their two kids. And he said, hey, my TV's giving me some problems. We're here to watch the Rams game. And I didn't even mean to say it. I said, you know, that's not going to happen.
You didn't mean to say it.
It just came right out.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I said, but I'll be up in a second. So I had to run up there. Well, hey, Ruxar, so I get up there, and they've all got Chiefs gear on. And I didn't realize this. Now,
even the little kids?
Even the kids.
Wow.
I knew that he's a Central Florida grad, and him and his wife, Ryan and Kara, are big Alabama fans. But I didn't realize he's from Kansas City, and they're all Chiefs fans. And so they said, we came over to show you our Chiefs gear, and we brought beer. And I said, that's great, Good luck on the game, but I got to go back down and watch.
Oh, we'll go with you.
And Marianne, the girlfriend, was like, you should have invited them in. I think they wanted to come watch the game. And I said, look, I hate to be rude. It's not like I wouldn't invite anybody in.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do after the fact. You know, at halftime I sat there, said I run back across the street, and I was like, nah, it's not worth it. But I didn't invite them in. But I love them. They're great neighbors, and they're great people.
They're great neighbors, but they can't come in. Did LT make a social faux pas by not letting them in, or did he do the right thing? Because I think a lot of our listeners who are massive Alabama or Auburn fans or UAB fans, there are some like you who get into the games who do not want to be seen in public with the way they react, screaming at TVs or dancing around or just want nobody to talk while there are big plays in the game. Or worry about the dip or anything like that. You just want to watch it with the people you trust to watch games with.
Well, and look, I'm guessing they're more of a casual fan than me. They came over as the family. The game was actually going on. Maybe his TV did go out. I'd feel a little bad if that happened because I could put him on one of the upstairs TVs if that actually did happen.
That was my solution, Rockstar. No. My solution was, look, Lance has a TV in the upstairs den. I said, you should have offered them that one and just let them know, hey, I get into it. I'm going to be by myself down here. You guys are more than welcome to sit up here and watch the game. That would have been a natural.
But I want to ask you guys, I know it's a little different because of non-affiliations with us and what we do and stuff. But for listeners out there, if you're an Alabama fan and an Auburn fan shows up, wearing gear.
Oh, so you're bringing in the fact that they don't even cheer for your team.
Right. I mean, if they came over there like, we're Rams fans, oh, okay. Well, that would have been a different story. I'm being honest with you.
You'd have let them in?
Part of it is you want to know how they watch the game. I'm a Rams fan, but hey, I want to talk to you about the radio, and I want to talk to you about a car I'm looking at. Yeah. I don't want that crap during a game.
No, but I probably would have let them in for that final 3 minutes of the first half just to see how they do watch a game being a Rams fan. But the fact that,
the 3-minute exam, you're out the door second half.
Well, and maybe Alabama Auburn's a bad example, but if you're a Georgia Tech fan and you're playing Tennessee and your neighbors show up all in Tennessee gear and they know you're a big Georgia Tech
probably
fan.
Probably not going to happen.
You're probably not going to want to watch a game with them. Again, Ryan and Kerr are great people. But being Chiefs fans, I had no desire. First of all, I don't want to watch the game with anyone, much less a family of four that comes over wearing Chiefs gear.
Okay, should LT have let him in? Should he let him in and use the upstairs TV?
And he offered the beer still, and I didn't take it.
I think that was the least you could do.
Two cold Limeritas with your name.
I think we know why you didn't take the beer.
He had a good craft beer on him.
Oh, okay. He wasn't totally dumb.
Yeah. Deb says, one of my great female listeners, Deb says, you should just let him borrow a TV, dude. Just take it off the wall.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Take this with you.
Take this one with you.
Oh, the girlfriend was beat up. She was like, I cannot believe you did. That was one of the rudest things I've seen you do.
All right.
She's seen me do some rude things.
So that's a Dreamland. That's a Dreamland barbecue poll. Did Lance do the right thing or did he make a social faux pas with his neighbor that'll be embarrassing the rest of his time in that cul-de-sac? Your early reaction, Cody, my Lord, LT is the most savage person. Curtis, whose handle, by the way,
I think most people are going to agree with me, by the way.
Is 1 foot bass. He writes in and says, wow, what a butthead.
Yeah. So maybe not.
No, I'm with you.
You're 0-2. I would have done the same thing. It could have been just normal Saturday with me.
You wouldn't have answered the door.
No, not at all. Not at all.
They knew I was in there, though.
Nope.
I know you're there.
Yep. You can hear my TV because I can't hear you. I like to watch the games on my own, man.
This is why people had a moat back in the day.
It is hard for me even to let the wife in the sports room without food. Things are turning in your favor on Twitter, LT. Matt writes in and says, it's the neighbor's fault for not texting ahead of time, knocking on your door. What is this, 1996?
Again, nice neighbors that I like a lot.
Remember good old 1996 when you could just leave your doors unlocked in America?
I don't want people coming to my house.
But it's just, it's difficult when you're a super fan of a team.
I
mean,
I know.
For those three hours, you kind of get in your own zone.
I'd rather cook dinner for them than have to watch a Dolphins game with them. And they'd probably rather eat my dinner than have to watch the Dolphins.
Of course they would.
Hey, don't forget, no, it's the Dolphins, not the dinner.
All right, Cody is next with us in Calera. Hey, Cody, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
Not much, man.
So I've got a story, 2015. So I'm already missing the cupcake week. I had tickets, and my wife's like, hey, got to tell you, we've got a trip to Gatlinburg planned with a whole family. There's
you
like 35 of us in the cabin.
Negatron, not going.
So y'all know me. I'm already, like, really kicked off. So halfway through the trip, my wife says, hey, Cody, your mom said that she's inviting the preacher over during the Iron Bowl.
No.
And I was like, first off, Mom, do you know what I say during games, much less the Iron Bowl?
The preacher?
The preacher. I'm not even going to be able to, like, I was so mad the whole game. And then I get there, or then I get to the house, and they had invited, like, 10 other deacons over. And
what is going on?
Just like, I'm just showing my tail the whole day. And, like, afterwards, my mom's like, that was not very Christian-like. I said, that's not very Alabama-like. You can invite the preacher over.
Amen.
Amen. You got an amen from Brown. Scotty is in Chattanooga. Hey, Scotty.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Scotty.
Man?
Hey, definitely I like to be by myself during big games. I usually always go to the Iron Bowl. They usually go to watch Tennessee, whether they play in Tuscaloosa or Knoxville. I try to go. But other games, such as first game of the year, the LSU game, I got to be by myself. And I don't know what I would have done if they had knocked on the door. What did you do when they come in and then you ushered them right out?
Yeah, did you let them across the threshold?
No, they didn't go across the threshold.
Oh, wow.
They were wearing Chiefs gear.
What are you doing?
That's I went and talked to them and I said, hey, look, you guys look good and uniformed and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I didn't invite them in.
See, at my house, I have the leftover candy still sitting by the door. I said, where's your bags?
Here's the thing. Once you invite in, it's more difficult to get them out.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, on Twitter, everyone agrees with you.
Okay, yeah, I think most of our listeners are going to agree with what Lance said.
Well, and I think Ryan, I think, you know, my neighbor, I think he probably agrees too. I think they were just having fun. I hope.
The bottom line
is you'll find out
that this is where I can't say no. And it would have sucked.
Oh, you would have been miserable.
Because they would have had to come in because I couldn't have said no. And I want to say no. I've got to get better at saying no. Good question, though. You can go vote. Thanks to our friends at Dreamland Barbecue. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Rivals is reporting Kelly Bryant, the one-time Clemson quarterback, canceling his trip to Miami, will visit Auburn again before he makes his December 4th decision on where he'll play one more season of college football. And in Conference USA, Charlotte, that job is open. Bruce Feldman reporting that Kevin Still, Auburn defensive coordinator, is one name being mentioned for that job. Josh Gattis also. Other reports have the Alabama wide receiver coach being mentioned for that job. So Nick Saban yesterday, his news conference on Iron Bowl week. Gus Malzahn a little bit later on today. Here is the Alabama coach on his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. And the attitude he brings in, not to every day of work, but to really every play or every step in his life. Here's Nick Saban.
No one is perfect. I do think that Tua has sort of the mindset of trying to make every throw a good throw, make every read a good read. I think he works toward that. I think he is a perfectionist to some degree. And I think players like that certainly close the gap on being able to perform well relative to the expectation of what we want them to do, play in and play out.
Nick Saban getting ready for the Iron Bowl this week, 2:30 on CBS. You'll hear the game here on Jocks and our sister station, 99.5 with the Auburn network there. I'll ask you guys this. They've got Auburn, the ESPN projections for the bowls. They've got Auburn projected right now at the Music City or the Texas Bowl. There is a chance that the SEC has one playoff team, either Alabama and Georgia, and then three New Year's Six Bowls representatives. Right now, they project Alabama in the playoffs, Georgia, LSU, and Florida. If Florida beats Florida State, you think they rise up to the level of being a New Year's Six Bowl
team? They don't. They just don't look like a New Year's Six Bowl team. I guess maybe.
Well, I don't think either one. I don't think LSU does.
They do more than Florida to me.
And I think LSU's going to lose this weekend, so I think LSU's going to be out, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if Florida State beats Florida.
So that would hurt the New Year's Six
no doubt.
Reps for the SEC. That'd leave you just with one, sort of a normal year.
I mean, Florida just doesn't strike me as a New Year's Six. I mean, that puts them playing,
Some people project them and UCF as an at-large in the Fiesta Bowl, but there are others who think that that the committee would not do that to Florida.
I mean,
because of the situation of being in the same state, that it would be LSU and UCF in Florida going to a Peach Bowl to play somebody else.
Yeah, I was just going to say it puts them playing a West Virginia-type team that doesn't make a championship game but is still a really good team. I wouldn't like Florida's matchup against UCF for West Virginia.
No, no, not at all. So that's some of the bowl projections that are out there. But right now, Auburn being slotted in places like the Music City in Nashville or the Texas Bowl down in Houston. Interesting that Auburn has given up fewer sacks this year than they did last year. Last year, 36 sacks. This year, only 20 sacks.
That's a significant drop.
It is a significant drop, but I would assume that I really don't even know how you can explain why it would have dropped off. I was going to say because the running game has struggled more this year. Well, but
how many did Clemson have in that one game last year?
Yeah,
I mean that drove that number up a good bit.
I was asked yesterday, what's an advantage that Auburn has in this game?
Kicking.
And you really? Yeah.
Oh, I don't
kicking.
Think so.
But oh, I do.
Well, I mean, punting.
Yeah, punting and kicking. The overall kicking game, Auburn's got an advantage.
I mean, Carlson has not been good.
No, but he's making extra points. Alabama can't even make extra points.
The answer I gave them was that a lot of these guys were on the team last year, and unlike any other team Alabama's played this year, these guys have felt a win over Alabama, and they at least have that in their memory bank. And so you've got that to rely on as you hit the field on Saturday. You've done this before. You're the last team to beat them. So these guys have been through that before. Now, it's a totally different year. You're in the road. I understand that. But when you're looking at advantages in this game, it's hard to find it at quarterback or running game, offensive line, whatever. But at least your team beat them last year, and a lot of those guys played in that game. You know, a couple of rivalry games this weekend, streaks that are going on. Brown's about to ask a rivalry question, but Vanderbilt's won four of the last six against Tennessee. Florida State's won five straight over Florida. That's the longest streak for Florida State in that rivalry series there. So a couple of dynamics there is Florida's trying to break a five-game losing streak to Florida State, the longest the Noles have had.
Well, it's a little surprising based on where the Noles program is, and McElwain had a couple of good years getting to SEC championship games, so that's a little surprising they've won five consecutive games. Back to Vanderbilt, very important game for Vanderbilt trying to get bowl eligible.
Yeah, same for Tennessee. Winner of that game goes to a bowl game. All right, Brownie, your question on rivalries, set it up for us.
All right, well, I mean, you stepped into it. Let's start with those. I'm just going to ask you guys over the next 5 years, give me the record of these rivalries. Vanderbilt-Tennessee.
So everything's on five-year plan.
Yeah, right? We're just going to go 5 years.
I will go Tennessee 3-2.
I'm going to say Tennessee 4-1.
So you think Pruitt gets this turned around? It's shocking. Vanderbilt's had the success they've had of late.
May win this Saturday. Almost went 5-0, but I'll go 4-1.
Clemson, South Carolina, next five.
5-0.
Oh, Clemson sweeps it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't end for Muschamp then.
Does it?
I don't think you can keep that job going 0-5 against your in-state, and it'd be, what, 0-7 at that point?
I think I will go 5-0 as well. Trying to play it out if Dabo's still the coach there.
5 years. Notre Dame, USC, next five.
I will go USC 3-2.
But you don't think it's going to be Clay Helton that does that, though?
No.
I'll go Notre Dame 3-2.
LSU, Texas A&M.
I will go LSU 3-2.
I will go Texas A&M 3-2.
Egg Bowl.
I will go Mississippi State 4-1.
Ooh, that's domination.
I will go Ole Miss 3-2.
Wow, so you think Luke will have the upper hand on Moorhead, huh?
State this year, Ole Miss.
Gets three of the next
State,
four.
State, Ole Miss.
Wow, that'd be massive for Matt Luke. And probably do it in for Moorhead. Florida State.
I'll go 4-1 Florida.
Yeah, that feels like that one's about to flip for Florida, doesn't it?
Yeah, really does.
I'll go 4-1 Florida.
Georgia Tech.
5-0.
I mean, even if Tech changes coaches, it will take some time to wheel that thing back around, won't it?
I saw our friend Peter Burns throw out a question today. Best chance of an upset. It was South Carolina, Georgia Tech, or Auburn. And the answer is none.
But the best chance of an upset is Georgia Tech.
It is, but I don't see a path to victory for any of them, do you?
Georgia Tech averages 356 rushing yards a game in their four-game win streak. Georgia at times has given up 175, 216 on the ground. Taquan is back healthy for Georgia Tech. I think the best chance of any of the three you mentioned losing is Georgia losing to Georgia Tech. I agree with you. I don't think it happens anywhere, but I think Georgia Tech's the closest to victory. That could be... That game could, if you're a Georgia fan, you could still be sweating that one in the fourth quarter.
Two more, Ohio State, Michigan, next 5 years.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting to see what Ohio State does at head coach. Because I think we all agree Urban's not going
to
be back.
It's starting to feel that way, isn't it?
Colin Cowherd said yesterday what Paul Feinbaum's been saying for months. But Cowherd said two sources told him over the weekend Urban Meyer will retire and make the announcement after the Michigan or Big Ten championship game, whichever one they're in.
Well, because I think Michigan will win this weekend, I'll say 3-2 Michigan.
I was going to go 3-2 Michigan.
And Iron Bowl, next five.
I'll go 5-0.
Auburn? So you think Alabama's going to win the next five?
Well, you know Malzahn's going to be there for the next two, so that's 0-2.
He just won last year.
He's on a one-game win streak.
Yes.
I'll say 4-1 Alabama.
And the only reason I say that, Brown, is I believe Saban will be there 5 years.
I mean, I think he will too, but I mean, he has.
Because I think he'll get Malzahn for the next 2 years. I think it'll be new coach in 2020.
But he's,
and it's going to take a little bit of time to get that going.
But as great as Saban's been at Alabama, he's not reeled off five straight in this rivalry yet.
Yeah. I mean, it might be 4-1. 4-1's probably the more realistic answer.
Still 3 weeks away, Army, Navy. I got a feeling it's about to be Army 5-0.
Could be.
Well, you know, that's a big flip.
Yeah. Teams are much different right now.
Yep. It really is. John in Anniston is next with us on Iron Bowl week here on the Jocks Roundtable. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not much.
Hey, playing off the Auburn scenario, LT, I kind of agree with you. I think Gus will probably be blown out in 2 years. Let me ask you this. If this guy is still available, why in the world is Auburn not taking a hard look at Mike Leach? That guy is probably one of the best football minds in the game. I mean, he is. I think he would bring energy to that program. I mean, I hope they don't get him. I'm an Alabama fan.
Well, it's just he's a unique brand, and I don't think any big programs are ever going to take a shot on Mike Leach. Even if he somehow got Washington State into the college football playoff this year, and we've heard different. I mean, I forgot who was it that interviewed Mike Leach not long ago, and it was a pretty big job.
It looked like he was in the run for Tennessee a little bit.
But they said, you know, that he would get off on these tangents and just start talking about some weird stuff. It takes a special athletic department to bring in a guy like Mike
Leach. You know why I think, John, power programs they shy away from Mike Leach? Because his shtick is charming right now when Washington State is about to win the Pac-12. But the year you're 5-5, the year you're scrambling to get bowl eligible, that shtick isn't charming in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah. Well, he would definitely be a lot more interested than Gus Malzahn in the press conferences, for sure.
Well.
But anyway, yeah, let me, real quick, there's kind of a narrative I've noticed on ESPN and even on the next show. You guys haven't really fell into it, but why do you think the later it gets in the year that Alabama is – the narrative is Alabama's a little more vulnerable. The Heisman race is closing in. I mean, I know the level of competition has stepped up, but I mean, Alabama still pretty much body bagged the people they played.
Yeah, I don't see Alabama as more vulnerable, but I do think the Heisman is closed a little bit. It's still Tua's to win.
Well, the Heisman is a beauty contest,
yeah,
right? So if you look at it, I mean, what's the old saying about a supermodel? If you wake up every morning next to whoever the most beautiful woman in the world is.
No, it's the guy that's with the supermodel there's somebody out there that's already bored with the supermodel.
Exactly. So you see the same You see the same good-looking woman over and over and over. That's what Tua has been since week one. He's been the Heisman winner. So all of a sudden, the numbers from Minshew or Kyler Murray, gives other people a chance. I'm tired of Tua. It's an old story, so I'm going to write this or I'm going to talk about this.
In November, in the Heisman race, becomes the time where you start to break down. All right, this guy has led it for September and October. Let's find his weaknesses now.
Yes, exactly.
And Tua's, his best games were before November. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He was better
when he was healthy.
When he was healthy, he was, you know, LSU and Mississippi State weren't his best two games.
Yep. I will tell you.
They weren't bad, but they weren't his best two.
Here's Ross Pierschbacher, the center for Alabama, talking to our reporters this week about the rivalry game with Auburn and the stage that will take place at 2:30 in Bryant-Denny Stadium.
A lot of guys are used to it, and that's why you come to a place like Alabama just to play in big games like this and just not let it consume you and kind of get too many emotions going. You got to go out there and execute regardless of who you're playing against. So, that's kind of how we battle that.
Not a lot of emotions, he says. They try to stay even keel. Does that help you or hurt you in a rivalry game sometimes? Because sometimes the other guys play with a great deal of emotion.
Well, and Nick Saban was talking about that yesterday, about, you know, revenge in this game because of what happened in last year's Iron Bowl. And he said, I think revenge is a bad motivator because it is emotion-based and emotion wears off. At some point, you got to execute. And I agree with that. I mean, I think emotion's good early, but if you can't execute, emotion's not going to win a game. You know, I mean, you've still got to have a good plan and you've got to execute that plan and do it cleanly. Emotion alone is not going to win a game like
that. Here's why I don't hire Mike Leach, and it may be short-sighted, I know this, but if you look at their rivalry game with Washington this week, Mike Leach is 0-3 against rival Washington, and he's lost those games 31-13, 45-10, and 45-17, so really not even close.
Yeah, sadly, I think they're going to lose this week.
So if he loses again this week, he's 0-4 in his biggest game. Now, he's at the other school in a rivalry. There's one big school in the other school.
Well, he's the underdog, yeah.
And he's the other school in that rivalry out there. But he's had some really good years except for beating his rival. That's not the coach I want in that situation. I mean, I would find someone different to hire if I was having to hire a coach.
I just think Mike Leach fits in certain places, a Texas Tech. You know, if you think about it, his two most successful places have been way out of the way, off the beaten path.
Yeah. Almost
hard to recruit two places.
Makes it sound like there's no interstate that runs close to either place.
Well, and I think those are the only kind of places that are going to take a shot.
And that's what I'm saying, yeah.
No, I think there are some programs in the SEC. I think Tennessee would have been wise to take a look at Mike Leach, and I guess they kind of did, as you alluded to earlier.
They fired the AD the moment he got off the plane from coming back from that interview.
I mean, we'll see what happens long term, but he would not have done any better than what Pruitt's done this year. Mike Leach wouldn't have.
Well, I would agree. I mean, you don't have your guys there. Of course, if he would have brought Gardner Minshew in, it might be a little different.
Well, that's true.
A little different, yeah.
I mean, that was pretty awesome. His recruiting pitch was, do you want to back up Tua, or do you want to lead the nation in passing?
I mean, it's crazy to think about how this has played out.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was such a legitimate point because if you play for Mike Leach, there's a good opportunity. You are going to lead the nation in passing, and that's exactly what Minshew's doing right now.
But Dunaway, I think Mike Leach is perfect for a place that, like a Lubbock, Texas, or a Pullman, Washington, where it's tough to recruit because his system doesn't necessarily rely on getting 4- and 5-star recruits. It's a unique system that, as long as you got a good signal caller, as he has had at Tech and at Washington State, you can survive.
I wonder why we never get to see those guys with 4- and 5-star recruits, though.
Well, because he's coaching in Lubbock and Pullman.
Yeah. 7:38. They're still a playoff contender as they try to win this weekend. Can they avoid the upsets? We never avoid the upsets on Tuesday with our Baumhauer Spotlight Upset Alert.
It's the Baumhauer's Victory Grill Spotlight.
College Football Upset Alert.
All right, Brownie, start us off, man.
I know you guys, like me, get fired up for the Heroes game presented by Hy-Vee Grocery Chain, right?
Yes. Is that Boise State?
That is not. It's Nebraska and Iowa, Jim. It's the Heroes game.
We're going to need those points.
Rockstar, settle down.
Okay.
It's rivalry week. Nebraska has lost 4 of the last 5 to Iowa, including last year's 56-14 beatdown. But I'm going to tell you this, boys. Scott Frost has improved this football team in the back half of this season, including a thrilling 9-6 win over Michigan State last week. Thrilling, I tell you.
Hey, they'll take it.
Any win's a good win right now. And Rockstar, they're going to get another one. Nebraska is a 7.5-point underdog. But you know what you could do with those points, Rockstar?
Not watch it.
Shove them in your turkey. 7.5. And they don't need them. Nebraska wins the Heroes Cup outright in Iowa City.
Friday, 11 o'clock on Fox for that one. Can you make a case that Iowa's the second best team in the Big Ten?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
They're better than Ohio State, you think?
I mean, would you feel good about Ohio State going to Iowa City right now?
Brown, you're the one that always tells me what
well, I don't know
Ohio State is.
I mean, I would
they're
say
not
Ohio
good, but Iowa has lost three of their last four games. How am I making the argument they're the second best team? They're not better than Northwestern.
Just handed Illinois their worst loss in program history.
That's Illinois.
I would still say Ohio State is the second best, but if Ohio State was going to Iowa City, I would not feel good about them winning that game right now.
Yeah, you Northwestern at Iowa, where Nebraska is going.
Well, why are we playing all these games at Iowa? Why are you giving them home field advantage?
That's where your upset is.
I know we like to see them wave at the kids, but they can't play them all at home.
Yeah, but Nebraska's at Iowa this week, so I'm bringing
correct,
that up.
That is correct,
yeah, okay. Your upset alert, LT.
Mine has major playoff implications, and look, I don't like where the program's going right now. They've lost four of their last five games, but three of those games by one possession, including Victory Bell loss against UCLA. I think USC will come to play Saturday night against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's coming off their best performance of the year against Syracuse. I think they'll come down a little bit. And I think USC playing for bowl eligibility, I think they'll rally. They'll play for Clay Helton. The players love him. I don't think he's the long-term fit there. But I think they'll come out. Aka Cedric Ware, I think running the football will be the difference here. I think USC will take this to the wire. I think Notre Dame ultimately wins the game. But you're catching 10.5 here, and I think it goes to a final possession.
Do you need the points?
I do need the points.
Yeah, you need the points.
You're going to keep them?
I need those points. They need those points. So do I, Rockstar. I need the points as well. When you look at my game, there probably will be a lot of points scored. It's Texas Tech and Baylor. It's a Big 12 game, but I got a feeling that Baylor scares Texas Tech and actually wins this game outright. And this is one of those for bowl eligibility, right? Yeah, both teams are 5-win teams. They're playing at Texas Tech, where Texas Tech is usually a little bit better. But in this game, you know, Bowman, who's had a couple of collapsed lungs this year, he's still questionable. You don't know if you're going to get him back.
That's a bad year, by the way.
5-5?
When you have a couple of collapsed lungs.
Yeah.
that ain't good.
I mean, seriously. I mean, it's been one of those years for him. I'll ask you, though. Baylor, Texas Tech. I like Baylor. I like them to win it outright on the road at Texas Tech. It's a tough ask. But the quarterback on the third line now, he's now their starter, has been really impressive at Texas Tech.
Duffy.
Best quarterback in this game is on Texas Tech or Baylor?
I'll lean Texas Tech. It's probably more system, but the best head coach is Matt Rhule, and it's not even close.
Yeah. Do you like Baylor at all in this game?
Yeah, I could see it.
This is the Texas Farm Bureau Insurance Shootout you're talking about here, Jim. You excited?
They got a name for that one, too?
Yeah. Lance had the jeweled shillelagh. Isn't that what Notre Dame and USC play for, I believe?
Yeah, more of a traditional
game.
Yeah,
a little more than the Heroes Trophy and the Texas Farm Bureau Insurance Shootout, yes.
Okay, so I have Baylor. LT has USC to scare. I have Baylor to win outright, and Brownie never needs a point.
Children of the Corn.
He takes Nebraska and the Children of the Corn. Andy is in Birmingham next. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I've been listening to you guys from Little Rock for the past couple of days, so glad to finally be back. But anyways, I kind of want to ask you guys about the LSU-Texas A&M game. I think there's LSU. I mean, I think Texas A&M's favored by 2 points as of last night. I mean, do you guys think that A&M will cover that spread? Or how do you guys see that going?
LT, you've liked Texas A&M a little bit in this game all week. How come?
Well, Travion Williams, I think he'll be the difference. And I'm not sold on either one of these teams, but I like Texas A&M and College Station. I think it'll be a really good game, but I just like A&M in the end.
Brown, do you agree?
No, I think LSU wins this game. It's a tough one, Andy. It's a tough call, but I think LSU will win this game.
And the reason I'm saying that is I think Texas Ed Orgeron yesterday in his press conference said Travion Williams is one of the best running backs in the country, and LSU's without Braydon Teoko. He just had surgery. I don't know why, but anyways, we're going to be out Braydon Teoko. So, I mean, do you guys think that's going to make a big difference?
That was confusing to me. He didn't go out of the game injured, did he? I missed it
no,
if he did.
He didn't, even, play Saturday.
Yeah, I know. That was very, very strange to me. I don't know what has happened there with Fajoko, but that's a big loss. I mean, he's a heck of a player on the inside, and he's done for the year.
He didn't play against Arkansas either.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got hurt against Alabama or what. I mean, I was at the game, so I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, it was weird.
Thank you, Andy. I was surprised at that. I had not seen any reports that Fajoko was injured. And then just out of the blue yesterday, Orgeron announces he's had season-ending surgery. So that's a big loss for Texas A&M up front, which could help for LSU up front, which could help A&M run the ball. You're stuck in traffic. Rockstar going to cheer you up with his viewing menu. It is presented by Phone Restore, which is now You Break, I Fix.
9 p.m. on Cinemax. This is a slow night. 9 p.m. on Cinemax, you got a fantastic film, Weekend at Bernie's.
I did like Weekend at Bernie's.
I don't think I've ever seen the entire thing.
Very funny movie.
So you've seen bits and pieces of it throughout, but never start to finish.
Yeah, I've got the premise.
Yeah, plot twist at the end. Huge plot twist.
See, I don't.
And they make a sequel.
I don't know how it ends. Like, I don't remember the ending of the movie.
He doesn't come back to life, right?
I'm not going to spoil it.
He survives for another sequel, though. I think they go to Hawaii for the sequel. And then 10:05 on HDNet, a movie from the creators of South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, Basketball. Which features Al Michaels.
Never saw it, but Jenny McCarthy in her heyday, right?
Yes, Jenny McCarthy. It's a very funny movie.
The wife and I went to see A Star is Born yesterday.
Wow. Overrated.
Oh, I thought it was phenomenal. Which you and I have vastly different taste in movies. Yeah. So
I thought it was good. I think they're praising a little too much.
Bradley Cooper was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was
Garbert Knows.
Yeah, the voice was horrible.
Really, really good. I thought they could have done one scene a little more dramatic, but
okay,
it was subtle.
But I was going to bring up, because they showed it in the Monday night game as well, The Mule with Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper. That's got a lot of promise.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That was one of the trailers before A Star is Born, and then they showed it again in Monday Night Football.
It's based on a true story, too.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Really excited about that. Clint, obviously, is getting a little old. I think he's 86 now.
But you put Clint and Bradley Cooper in a movie together. Come on, man.
No, but I thought Bradley Cooper was much better than Lady Gaga. I mean, Lady Gaga played herself.
Yeah, I know. And I thought she did fine in that role, but I thought Bradley Cooper.
I thought Lady Gaga was great.
I thought her acting was good, but I mean, you had to have somebody that could sing, and she can obviously sing. She's got chops.
Again, I think that movie, if that thing wins Best Picture, I'll be blown away.
You know what this movie needs? What? Dave Chappelle. What are we going to do with him? I don't know. Just put him in.
So random. And Andrew Dice Clay looking totally different than he's ever
looked. Like he's a glass eye.
I know. Yeah.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Tripp, who's next with us in McCalla. Hey, Tripp.
Old curmudgeon Clint Eastwood is the best Clint Eastwood.
That's what,
way,
you've had it for about 20 years.
Yeah, he's there.
This is my last time, I promise.
Awesome. So, Lance, first thing I got to do is I've got a bone to pick with you, my friend. Twitter has decided we're going to stop doing things in chronological order, so I don't know when this tweet was sent. But I woke my wife up last night about 10:30 laughing at you putting the Birmingham Bulls fans in a body bag because they're talking during Iron Bowl week about wanting you guys to talk about minor league freaking hockey. Hockey fans are the most obnoxious subset of Southern sports fans this side of UCF. But anyway.
I was really surprised that there was that much blowback on that.
Just tell them what you said. Well,
somebody tweeted towards us, and they said, how many wins in a row is it going to take for the Bulls to have the Jocks Roundtable talk about them? And I said, probably winning the Stanley Cup.
Gold. Yeah. Freaking hilarious.
And I know nobody will believe me, but I had the same tweet ready to send exactly, and then Lance sent it first.
But you're right. It's Iron Bowl week.
12 replies to it. I would have never expected there were 12 people that gave a crap about Birmingham Bulls hockey.
Look, it's nice to have.
You know, I was done away. Like, we mentioned they were playing in the quick hitters this 6 o'clock hour.
Hey, look, and I'm not going to take anything away. I think it's a good product.
Yeah,
I think it's fun for the whole family, and I think it's great our community's got that. But you're right. It's Iron Bowl week. We make our bones on talking college football. You guys, the masses, 99.9% of people out there want to hear us talk about Iron Bowl and SEC football and college football.
Well, that's a perfect transition to my next question.
Be quick.
Who can beat the Rams or the Chiefs, guys?
Oof. I mean, would you?
Saints.
Yeah, Saints definitely. They've already beat the Rams.
I think Saints are the best team. I think there's a lot of teams. I mean, the Rams' defense, again, has given up big plays. When Tlaib comes back, it's going to be big. But I think both of those teams are vulnerable defensively.
And I think odds are going to tell you both those teams aren't in the Super Bowl. The odds would tell you that.
I like the Saints, but the Rams and Chiefs, those three teams separate themselves because of their defense, but also their offensive speed. Jeff in Anniston is next with us. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Good.
So
great show Friday night again, Brown and Dunn. I have to admit, I got a little verklempt when you signed off with War Damn Eagle. That was good little tribute there.
Well, thank you. With Tammy passing, a lot of people were caught in the emotions. We end our shows always with God bless you and God bless America. I just thought it was a good moment to throw that in for her.
Yeah. And LT, great half show the other night.
Well, I appreciate it. It's going to be a half the next couple of weeks. It's just the board's kind of abbreviated, so we're doing 30 minutes this week and 30 minutes next week. I hope that's okay.
This week's abbreviated board. Wow. I was thinking, don't y'all think a good idea for a TV show would be The Sopranos prequel? Have it like late 60s, early 70s, get like a 20-year-old Tony, a young Uncle Junior.
Well, I would love Tony Senior and Uncle Junior would be an incredible prequel. I don't know if David Chase would be on board to do it, but I think there's definitely an audience for it.
I definitely agree. I'd be one of them. And I have to say, I got chuckled the other day. I was looking down through all these good games this week, rivalry week, and I got down to Texas, and they're playing Kansas. And I thought, man, you think they miss A&M any?
Well, I think the Big 12 does this intentionally. If you look, Kansas played Oklahoma last week, and I think the Big 12 knows that year in, year out, Oklahoma and Texas are their best two shots. So they're going to give them Kansas in those last 2 weeks to try to minimize the possibility of an upset.
So many good rivalry games got killed through the year.
Yeah, I know, but I think that is an intentional Big 12 move to prop up Texas and Oklahoma in those last two games.
Yeah. Speaking of which, why do you think there's so many teams that seem to, like, I've thought for years Alabama plays better on the road. And a lot of teams, I'm looking at West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Auburn, seem to play so much better at home. I mean, just such a big discrepancy. Why would there be some teams that really depend on that home field so much? And other teams, like I say, I think even this year, Alabama's probably played better on the road than they have at home.
Well, the LSU performance obviously sticks out as the best win of the year, and that's in that environment down there. We have often had Alabama players under Nick Saban on our show over the years, and they always, and Barrett always told us this too, that they sort of really enjoyed the them against the world mentality of playing on the road. Plus, it gets them away from everything that goes on campus. And you heard Cole talk about it at Auburn this week. There's no classes going on. There's really not the same distractions as you normally would have, like for Alabama with the game of the century being in Tuscaloosa against LSU a few years ago. So it was a zoo over there. It's a zoo anytime it's the Iron Bowl. So sometimes that can be a hazard when it's at home. But the players always tell us they enjoy going on the road. There's a routine to going on the road. You don't have to deal with your friends. You don't have to deal with your families. You don't have to deal with schoolwork. You're on the road, and it's just football and that same little routine, and they really like it.
But then you get like West Virginia, and they look like two different teams when they're at home.
It is weird, yeah.
All right, just a couple real quick ones, if I can. What do y'all think LSU would be ranked if they had to beat Florida?
Well, they're seven. What are they, eighth? Seventh? Seventh? We'll see in the playoff rankings tonight.
I mean, they'd be sitting at 10-1.
I mean Alabama's their only loss, right?
And they would have beaten Georgia, so they'd be five.
Yeah, I think they'd be five.
Yeah.
And then would they be sitting there waiting maybe that second?
They would be playing the role of Alabama last year.
That's what I was about to say. They would be last year's Alabama without the same playoff credentials that Alabama had last
year. Yeah, I think the perception would be a lot different.
Probably wouldn't squeeze in, but it'd be interesting to see. And wow, would Carville lose his head? and I have to admit, I'm a little surprised. Am I the only one that thinks that Georgia Tech is going to be a close game? I know it's got a big line, but I'm surprised none of y'all took them as your upset special.
No, I didn't take them as my upset special, but I do think it'll be a competitive game in the fourth quarter. I agree with you.
I think it's going to be, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, I would be surprised, but it wouldn't shock me to see Georgia Tech sneak up on them. But anyway, guys, thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Boy, that'd be a brutal loss for Kirby Smart.
Boy, what would it do to that SEC championship game?
Would take the air out of it and
almost make it meaningless.
Yeah, if Alabama beats Auburn and they were somehow to lose the two-loss Georgia in the SEC championship game, it would be like the Big Ten sending a non-champion to the playoffs. Almost guaranteed Alabama would go at that point.
I still think that game is meaningful because it's for the SEC championship. Don't get me wrong. I meant meaningless in terms of who
college
would
football play.
The college football playoff. Yeah. I mean, I think Alabama, if they win the Iron Bowl, would have a game in hand there. I mean, I think they'd be okay.
I know once we get to that week, fellas, it'll be exciting if Georgia does hold on and beats Georgia Tech and Alabama obviously beats Auburn. But it just doesn't have the same feel.
What, Georgia Tech?
No, Georgia-Alabama.
Oh, Georgia-Alabama, yeah.
Would you guys agree? Mm-hmm. I mean, for number one, number five, with everything on the line, it just, I don't know.
I think it'll feel different next week. But I see what you're saying, because Georgia lost to LSU and then Alabama beat LSU so handily, it doesn't look like last year where Georgia-Auburn
last year, there was something about that game going into it. There was just a feeling.
I know, but you had already seen that one, and it was a blowout in favor of Auburn. I mean, you thought Georgia would have to play a perfect game to beat Auburn, and in fact, they really didn't. It is hard to flush down a way that Georgia got blown out in Baton Rouge and then Alabama blew LSU out in Baton Rouge. That's hard to forget those two games.
So we learn more and more about Urban Meyer all the time. And again, Colin Cowherd now saying what Feinbaum's been saying for a month and others, that he thinks Urban Meyer is done after this season. Two sources telling Cowherd, so he says, yesterday. But when Urban was at Florida, about 150 miles separate Gainesville and Tallahassee. When he was at Florida, he refused to eat food in Tallahassee during the rivalry.
Yeah, that's old school Shin Beckler, Woody Hayes, Michigan and Ohio State. Don't spend a dime in Michigan was what Woody Hayes used to tell his coaches.
But he was afraid he would be, according to one of his former players, poisoned.
Oh, my God.
And Dan Mullen admitted that the story was true. Now, Mullen doesn't have the same level of paranoia, but he did point out, we will eat in Gainesville before we get on the bus and drive over to play in Tallahassee.
That's amazing. Thought he was going to be poisoned.
Is there a chance that Urban Meyer has a food taster during rivalry week in Columbus?
He needs one.
Do you think Amazon owns every aspect of our lives right now? They're bidding on 22 regional sports networks because Disney's having to diversify some of their Fox regional networks they bought. So 22 of them are up for bid, and Amazon's bidding on them. So there could be an Amazon sports network pretty soon.
I'm all for it.
Courtney Cox is getting a lot of love for people that could be in our Walk of Fame, not a B-lister.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Courtney Cox, I mean, obviously with her success from Friends, I mean, she would be considered.
Channing Tatum.
I think Channing Tatum is a borderline, you know, A-list actor right now, so I've got no problem with Channing Tatum either. So I stand corrected on those two.
The worst call for an apology I've ever heard. The Big 12 is making Texas defensive end Brecken Hager apologize for saying Oklahoma sucks.
He's got to do diversity training, it says.
It's so stupid.
It is
so stupid.
I mean, in this world, we can't think our rivals suck anymore?
Look, I understand if he's burning like Oklahoma memorabilia, if he goes out and he's like doing something over the top crazy, but he was just asked about Oklahoma and he said they still suck. And he said their defense is no good. I mean, who cares?
I hope the SEC never gets to this point.
I think we embrace it in the SEC.
I mean, an Auburn person can't say that Alabama sucks, or an Alabama player can't say Auburn sucks.
So silly.
This guy's got to apologize, and it's going to be one of those written by the SID apology.
Yes,
too.
I respect Oklahoma's tradition. And
yes.
He's already done it. I don't know if you saw the apologies. Basically, what do you say? I
want to apologize to Coach Riley. And
the most utmost respect for this Oklahoma program. He doesn't. He hates them.
No.
That's fine. It's good.
Well, did you see the Georgia player coming back at Laura Rutledge on Twitter?
Did.
That was awesome.
She's married.
Prather Hudson. The kid that ran over Laura.
Shoot or shoot, bro.
Yeah. He's taking a shot.
Really sorry I knocked you down, but I can pick you up at 7.
That's a great line.
Yep, it is. It is.
I mean, she had a bad Saturday, didn't she?
She did.
She did. She was back in New York, though, with her husband yesterday for Get Up and is back there today. The most underrated rivalry that's going on this weekend. There'll be a lot of peacocking between Alabama and Auburn and Ohio State and Michigan fans this weekend because they think they have the greatest rivalry.
Mm.
And Alabama and Auburn fans obviously know we've got the greatest rivalry. But with the way the standings are this year, there will be a lot of posturing by the Big Ten, Joel Klatt and such, about the rivalry that is Michigan and Ohio.
Well, theirs
State.
Is more meaningful this year. There's no doubt.
This year.
But, you know, it's hard for me to say, and look, it is a great rivalry, but it can't be the best if one team's won 14 of the last 15.
It's hard.
Speaking of win streaks, Auburn has won in the Iron Bowl. They won last year, despite Alabama going on to win the national championship. Christian Miller was asked, is there any motivation to the loss at Jordan-Hare last year?
We don't even talk about last year. We really are just focused on this team. I mean, it's a completely different season. I mean, I know y'all probably hear that all the time, but it's true. We really are just focused on this season, this team, and especially this week. You know, this is the game that we have this week, so that's what we're focused on. So,
on the BS meter, with BS being 10, how close to 10 is that statement, you think?
Well, I mean, I think you're motivated to beat your rival no matter what. But when they've beaten you the year before, and it was a surprise to you, I think it's further motivation. But I do believe Nick Saban has been very consistent with this message that revenge is not a great motivating factor.
I know. He says that.
Yeah.
He says that a lot. And it's true. But you even go back to 2008, 2009, when Florida beat them in SEC championship. Those things hung in the locker room all year. They were targeting that game again.
Yeah, but I think what Nick Saban means by that is that motivation can't be your only, or excuse me, revenge can't be your only motivation, because that's based on emotion, and emotion will not win you football games.
That's true, but it doesn't mean they don't use it at all.
I think they do use it.
I think his biggest motivations are obviously ultimately winning championships and recruiting, and this game is big for both.
Kevin Steele's name being mentioned for the Charlotte opening. I don't see why Charlotte is this sleeping giant or this rising program, but everywhere I see this job mentioned, that people see it as a jewel of a job.
Who else wants it?
Josh Gattis is being mentioned, but there are other people that are Bruce Feldman at The Athletic said a lot of coaches, people in football coaching circles, see this as a really good opportunity. I've never seen that yet. They're still so young in their program. We'll see. Lamar and Jasper is next with us. Hey, Lamar, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to rant for a minute, I guess. Y'all talking about the guy a while ago on knowing you, and talking about the ice hockey and all that bunch of junk, you know? I mean, they've shoved ice hockey and soccer and all that crap down our throats. They're trying to turn us against football is what they're trying to do.
Wow. You're not going to turn this show against football. Come on, man.
I know that. I know we're not going to turn y'all against it, and me and just a certain number of people. But I'm talking about just in general. You know, we're raising a bunch of little puds, you know, and they're not raising men anymore, because it's just like the guy up there, and they want to apologize to Oklahoma, tell them they suck. I mean, crap, if you can't talk about your rival like that, what's it coming to?
Why are we even living? Yes.
I mean, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just look at the world anymore, you know, and I've got some grandkids. I've raised them to go hard and, you know, all the time, or go home and crap. But I don't know if y'all remember last week, y'all had a guy call in and asked, did y'all think the refs could change the course of a football game? And I'm talking about that high school game where the kids got the wall fell on them.
Do you remember that?
About 4 weeks ago, my kids were playing in a game up there, and they had 38 flags threw on them. They're talking about that fat guy cost them 2 touchdowns in that game. I don't know if it's the same bunch of refs or not, but the fat guy cost us 3 touchdowns in that game. We had 230-something yards of penalties, and then we never had over 2 personal foul penalities the whole year.
Can you tell me, Lamar, give me one example of how you make your grandkids go hard or go home. Can you give me one example?
Well, crap. You know, if you got him in your sights, don't let up.
That's right.
Well, I tell them, I mean, go wide open. If you're going to do something, do it as best you can. If you're not going to do it your best, just quit and sit down. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, do everything you do your best at it. And if you're not going to do your best, just what's the crap's the point in even being out there?
Yeah. Well,
you know, if you're going to dig ditches, be the best ditch digger you can be.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? I mean, just be the best you can be. And if that means, you know, go wide open all the time. And if you get in trouble for going wide open, I'm not going to fuss at you.
You're a good granddad, Lamar.
You know what I mean? I mean, but you don't see that anymore. You see the mamas out there patting them on the back when they screw up and tell them, that's okay, baby, you do better next time. Well, it's not okay. Kick him in the ass and make him do better.
You got
Lamar.
You ever gotten so upset to hear a hockey promotion?
You got an Iron Bowl pick?
Lamar.
What? Yeah.
Thank you for making Walker County great again.
No.
Man, I appreciate it.
All right. That old fat guy throwing those penalties. Two things real quick. Number one, I might have said Daniel slew the giant.
David.
Clint was the devil, but it was David. I don't know why I said Daniel. Number two, I think these...
Daniel got his ass pat on the back. You going to do that next time, little buddy?
No, he beat the Lions, man.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't beat the Lions
on Thanksgiving? Number one, I just think, look, our station is a very powerful station. We understand that. They're trying to promote their sport. I mean, a lot of people hit us up to promote their sport or promote their event.
Oh, yeah, I don't fault
get
them
that.
For that.
I don't fault them. They're not trying to sissify America.
I was just having a little fun with them last night.
Mm. They've been talked about a lot today.
Oh, yeah, it's worked.
More than I planned. I will tell you, though, that hockey players, though, are some
they're
of the toughest SOBs you'll ever want to meet.
They get after it.
Yeah, the hockey injury is usually a toe tag that keeps you out of a game. 908 on the show. Okay, underappreciated rivalries this weekend. Give me one that doesn't get enough love that is a great rivalry. A great one. Not just a good one, a great one.
Great is a big word.
Yeah, it really is.
That's why I upped it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think we appreciate the great ones, don't we?
Do you?
I mean, I think I'll tell you this. Unfortunately, it will not live up to last year, but the single one of the best games I watched all year last year was on Black Friday in Orlando, Central Florida and South Florida.
Won't live up to last year.
It will
no
not, because South Florida's they're not as good this year.
Yeah, you know, zero chance.
You know what UCF and USF was last year? It was Rams and Chiefs last year.
Oh, it
night.
Was amazing. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember that game well. It was Black Friday. We were in the middays then. We had done the show. I went home and watched the second half, and it was up and down the field. It was one of the best games of the college football season last year. Will not live up to it, and it's never going to be considered great by any stretch of the imagination. Lance, even when the teams have stunk, which they will not this year, I've always enjoyed the Apple Cup.
I have too, yeah. I remember when we had a 1-11 and a 1-10 and a 0-11.
I watched it.
I think one that gets underappreciated, BYU Utah.
Holy War?
9 o'clock FS1.
Or is that the battle for the Beehive?
I think that was the Holy War.
Okay.
BYU and Utah.
Yeah, but you know, normally it's not this late. They play this in September a lot.
They have before, and they've played it in a bowl game before. The bowl game forced them together at one point, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that is the Holy War.
There are people who will try to sell you on South Carolina and Clemson.
No, it's never done it for me. When has that game ever really mattered? When have South Carolina and Clemson played a game that has any sort of impact at all in college football? I mean, I know you're in the same state.
See, I've never even really bought into Florida and Florida State rivalry.
Well, Florida and Georgia means more to us.
Well, I thought Florida State in the 90s was a big rivalry.
It was good, but there was always when Florida would lose that game.
But those were top five teams.
No, exactly. But when Florida would lose that game, they always had the SEC championship game to go to and would end up winning the SEC championship, so we're sort of save face. And even the year Steve Spurrier's only national championship, he loses that game, then wins the SEC championship and gets to play Florida State again. He was 500 that year against Florida State, but he was national champs.
Well, you still count Bama in 2011.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Just like happened later on with Alabama in 2011. So I think that was Florida State's last two games. I don't think they had an ACC championship game back then.
They didn't. I think LSU Texas A&M, if Jimbo can get things cranking at A&M, I think that can grow into a really good rivalry Saturday game. They used to try to make the battle for the boot, I think, was rivalry Saturday. They've moved that back now. I thought A&M played Missouri for a minute that they were going to try to make that one. This is the one, LSU, Texas A&M. LSU's always needed a geographic rival.
And this is
but,
it.
But
this
I always it. Thought Arkansas LSU was a fun game.
That was it, yeah, yeah. But when there was the battle for the boot, and Petrino was there.
The Black Friday game,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they had some very entertaining games. I agree with you on that.
You know,
Lance,
the interesting thing here is I guess we'll all assume, based on the 10-year, $75 million contract, that Jimbo will be the guy in College Station. Are we past the point now where we just think Orgeron's going to be the guy?
He's going to be there next year at least.
Well, yeah,
next
there's no doubt. Do you guys think he's 5-year plan?
Well, I brought up Hugh Freeze. Ed Orgeron is one of the guys who hired Hugh Freeze in 2005 when he was the coach at Ole Miss. And Ed is one of the names being mentioned as interested in Hugh Freeze. Do you think Orgeron changes OCs again, or is he happy with what Ensminger brought to the table?
I don't think he can be. I mean, again, this is a bad offense. And, you know, it starts with quarterback, and then you've got to look at your guy that is actually scheming and calling the plays. But I don't think Ensminger's the answer. So I think you continue to play around, and you got to figure this thing out. You thought Matt Canada was going to be the answer a couple of years ago. That didn't work out. Ensminger, it's the same results. So, no.
I will tell you that they're number 7 in the country and will go to a New Year's 6 bowl game if they win this rivalry game, Brown. But the fact that they scored 0 against Alabama may be the determining factor in whether Ensminger is back or not. If they lose that game 29-21, you probably stick with the guy. But the fact that it was 29-0, probably a big change.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I'm with Lance. You've got to, at some point, you got to have some consistency on that offensive side. I mean, you've gone from Matt Canada to Steve Ensminger. If you do it again, at some point, I think the powers that be at LSU have to say, you know, can Ed Orgeron actually pick a coordinator? And I just don't know that he's ever going to let I think it's the same thing with Freeze at Auburn. I don't know that at either of those places, Freeze is going to be able to be Freeze, be what he was at Ole Miss.
The other place being mentioned is with Mark Stoops at Kentucky. Eddie Grant out, Hugh Freeze in. Would you be down with that?
Oh, boy, he's losing. He'd lose a lot with Benny Snell.
Yeah, and just think about your quarterback restrictions at every place but Auburn.
I mean, I think the interesting thing would be if Loxley takes a job or Loxley and Enos take a job, is he even in the mix in Tuscaloosa? Saban obviously wanted him around the program, and Greg Sankey kind of shut that down.
Yeah, I think Hugh Freeze better opportunities with those defensive coaches that you mentioned and Mark Stoops and Ed Orgeron. Again, I think way too much ego with Gus Malzahn to bring in Hugh Freeze.
But if you end up getting a chance to coach Tua in Tuscaloosa with those receivers?
Oh, he'd love that.
Yeah. That would do the old car wash for your career really quick. Mike is next in Birmingham. Hey, Mike, welcome to Rivalry Week. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Do y'all think – I'm a State fan. Do y'all think the Egg Bowl is underrated?
I think it is. I love the Egg Bowl every year, and I'm so – I don't know how you feel as a fan of it, but I want it on Thanksgiving night. I don't know if you guys hate it or love it because it disrupts your Thanksgiving, but I love it as a viewer that it's every Thanksgiving night again.
Oh, no, I like it on Thanksgiving night. That's fine. It's a nasty rivalry.
Yeah, it's got some edge to it. I find it entertaining. I think, by and large, the games are pretty entertaining in that rivalry.
And what it always seems like to me is that it seems like it's a close game. It's a hard-fought, close game that no matter who's having the better year, like last year, for instance, Mississippi State's having a better year, Ole Miss wins the game.
Yeah, I know. This year, I think it's a referendum for State fans, anyway, on Moorhead, because – if he wins, they say, okay, we didn't have the season we wanted, but Fitz wasn't the quarterback he needed, but we're going to a decent bowl and we beat the rival. If he loses, I think people, MSU fans, say he's not SEC caliber, wasted season, hello Shreveport. So there's a lot riding on it, I think, for Moorhead.
Well, if you can't move the ball on the ground against this Ole Miss defense, which what you're really good at, then you can't move the ball on the ground.
Yeah, this would be a terrible loss.
Terrible loss.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, and just I want to be clear, Ole Miss does suck.
Thank you, Mike.
Don't tell that to the Big 12.
Yeah, glad he's not the Big 12.
You know, the Mississippi State, the bad loss this year was against Florida and Dan Mullen being able to beat his old program and only scoring 6 points. But, you know, if they're able to win this game, which I think they will against Ole Miss, and they go to 8-4, they win a bowl game, they could end up being a top 15 team at the end of the year. 9 wins in year one is not bad for Joe Moorhead.
It is not, but everything he said is spot on, that if he loses this game, then all of a sudden Ole Miss's two darkest years under probation and they beat State both years, that would be a way to survive.
Huge.
Gardner Minshew being compared to one great Iron Bowl quarterback. Who is it?
Iron Bowl quarterback? A.J. McCarron?
No.
I'm horrible at these.
Cam Newton. Because the one-and-done year came in.
Well, that's the only resemblance to Cam Newton he has.
Well, he's putting up tremendous numbers. Well, Cam put up tremendous numbers.
You don't look at... Well, I know, but they were different. You mean to me?
Not style of play, Brown.
Well,
but
when you say comparison, that's what I thought. Sorry, Jim.
I mean, Cam Newton carried that team without Gardner Minshew. This is a 6-5 team at best.
I mean, I don't know. Mike Leach is all his quarterbacks. I don't know if I'd agree with that. I mean, it depends on who you replace him with. Leach always has good quarterbacks.
but he doesn't always have good years. They're 10-1 now. He's been five losses since he got there.
Yeah, but Luke Falk was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I think Minshew is better, and I'm blown away Minshew's this good. You guys weren't nowhere Minshew originally signed, right?
Originally?
Yeah.
No.
He was out of the state of Mississippi, originally signed at Florida?
Troy.
Well, how about that?
He did go to Troy first. I thought it was somewhere he signed and then went to Troy.
Well, that guy's been around.
Troy, junior college, East Carolina, verbal to Alabama, Washington State.
He's almost to Blake Barnett territory.
Have mustache, will travel. Four downs every day, brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires. Four really big topics in college football.
First down.
Opening game 2019 starter for Gainesville's Florida Gators. Felipe Franks or Emory Jones?
I'm going to lean Emory Jones here. Look, Felipe Franks has been up and down, and he's put up big numbers compared to what he has done in his past, but he's still not the answer long-term for Dan Mullen. I don't know if Emory Jones is, but I'm going to lean Emory Jones.
Yeah, I think I would go Emory Jones as well. He looked pretty good. It was Idaho. I get it, but he looked pretty good there.
Second down.
If you're Alabama and you win the rest of these games to get to the playoffs, which one-loss team do you want to play, assuming Clemson and Notre Dame are unbeaten at 2-3? Who do you want to play at 4? Not who will be there. Who do you want to play?
Ohio State.
I would say Ohio State, too. Just what Alabama could do on the ground against Ohio State.
Yeah, and they would slow that offense down. That offense can get slowed down against good defenses. Alabama would destroy Ohio State.
I mean, you just look at what Anthony McFarland, freshman running back from Maryland, did, almost going 300 yards on the ground.
And you don't want anything to do with Oklahoma and Washington State's offense.
I think Oklahoma would be next on the list just because of their defense. Alabama could shorten that game because Oklahoma couldn't get stops. And
so of those three teams, Washington State's the one you'd want the least.
I think they're all about the same. I think Ohio State's the one I want the most.
I think Washington State would probably win games against those other teams right now. I think they're the more complete team, but I don't think any of those three teams could even compete.
Third down.
James Franklin's the head coach at where opening weekend 2019?
Penn State.
Yeah, I don't think he'll leave Penn State. Though, you know, it's about to get interesting on the job market. If Ohio State does come open, and USC does come open, and there, you know, there's chatter now about Brian Kelly looking at the pros again with some of these jobs that may come open in the NFL. I mean, if you had Notre Dame, USC, and Ohio State all open in the same year, you could get some fascinating scenarios there.
Is there a better chance of Brian Kelly leaving if they lose to USC and don't get in the playoff?
Maybe, or if he gets in the playoffs and it's again like it was in 2012, and then he just thinks, I can't get it done here.
Fourth down.
With all that said, Brown, as you read over my shoulder.
Oh, I didn't know this was next.
Where is the most surprising opening when this season is done in the coaching ranks?
Well, I think that would be it. I think if Brian Kelly took an NFL job, maybe he's not going to take another college job.
I got one more.
Well, hang on. Let me stop real quick. If you were Brian Kelly and Ohio State offered you their job, if Meyer retired, would you take it?
Oh, yeah.
I think I would, too. I'd
leave Notre Dame for Ohio State. In a heartbeat.
I'd take it. Would you, Lance?
Yeah, I would. I'm still going to say that, and I know it's probably not a surprise at this moment, but for Ohio State, a year ago, if we would have said would be open.
No, you're right.
That's surprising to me.
I think it's realistic that Lincoln Riley takes an NFL job.
Yeah,
I think people are saying that.
Either with the Cowboys or the Browns.
Well, again, if you had Oklahoma, Ohio State, and USC all open.
So that would surprise me if Lincoln Riley leaves. Because, nothing has been really, in the past, did you think it was going to happen? But everyone who saw last night's NFL game was writing today and last night on Twitter, Lincoln Riley's watching this game and he's very comfortable with that style of football. He would have no problem in the future of the NFL.
Yeah, he's already playing that style of football right now in the college game.
Yeah, I just don't know if he has that much success.
Michael in Vestavia, before we take our next break. Hey, Michael, how are you?
All right, guys. After tonight, will there be three undefeated teams in the poll or two one-loss teams?
You mean when the college football playoff poll comes out tonight? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
There'll be three undefeated teams.
I don't think anything will change.
Yeah. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame.
I'm not really confused. I'm confused what he was asking.
I am too. Well, if that's what he was asking, there will be three 10-0 teams, Alabama, Clemson, and or excuse me, 11-0, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. I don't think anything changes tonight, do you all?
I don't think Michigan jumps them yet either, especially with the early struggles against Indiana and the way Notre Dame looked against Syracuse.
You can't. I mean, Notre Dame just came off their best performance, and again, the head-to-head, there's just no chance. If Notre Dame beats USC, Michigan's not going to jump.
I think the only thing to watch in the top 10, West Virginia will fall out after their loss, is what they do with Central Florida.
Yeah, do they jump Ohio State? Yeah. I think they do. I think UCF will be 9 and Ohio State will be 10.
That'll be your only drama.
Two Arkansas Razorbacks not going to play this week, Ryan Pulley and Cameron Curl, because they were socializing with a couple of Mississippi State dance team girls pregame, taking pictures and talking them up pregame.
Good for them.
Chad says, not on my watch. Not going to happen. So they are out this week. They were not here yesterday. They're not here today, and they will not be here this week, said Chad during the news conference. They need a win, something awful. They're in Fayetteville. They're a two-win team.
Well, I've never seen anything like that.
I have never seen a suspension for that.
And I would assume that we've had the socialization of guys with dance team members before.
Yep, absolutely. All right, big game tonight. Auburn and number one Duke. Number 8 Auburn, number 1 Duke. The betting line is finally out. It came out about mid-show here. What is it?
It is currently at 10.5. It might have opened at 9. Some of you say you saw it at 9. If so, it got bet up very quickly. According to Vegas Insider, everywhere I can find it, 10.5, Lance, is what we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's Auburn about Duke. Right. I said it would come 11, and I think 10.5, 11 is about right.
Do you feel confident about Auburn playing within the number?
Again, I mean, if you can get performances that you got yesterday from Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, you've got veteran guards out there. You got to be able to hit that perimeter shot. I just don't know how you defend Duke. I mean, Duke yesterday, San Diego State packed everything in, and Duke goes 10-25 behind the arc. I mean, they've just got so many weapons, and it starts with Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett. Again, it's a great barometer for Auburn. I would be shocked if Auburn wins the game. I think they could keep it interesting, though.
Biggest stage for Auburn basketball in a long time. Bruce has them back at number 8 in the country. And tonight, they play number 1 Duke in primetime, 7 o'clock on ESPN. You'll hear it on our sister station, Jocks 99.5. Excuse me, Talk 99.5.
The housing market is hot. There are 3 times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.